Dr. Salomon, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You pretty much anticipated a smooth transfer of power following the days of the late Prime Minister. Did any part of the transition process came as a surprise to you?
I wouldn't say that there was any major surprise as far as the confirmation of Hailemariam Desalegn as the Prime Minister is concerned. I think it was pretty much what I anticipated from early on. If at all there was a surprise, it was the appointment of the Deputy Prime Minister. That was a major unknown, partly because the position of the Deputy Prime Minister is an indication that there is a possibility of that person holding the position of the Deputy Prime Minister becoming a Prime Minister at some point. And of course, in some measure, even that one is not a complete surprise as well, because if you recall, during the 2010 EPRDF Congress in Adama, it was Demeke and Hailemariam who ran for the position of deputy chair of EPRDF, the Ethiopian People Revolutionary Democratic Front. And what happened was a repeat of basically that Adama EPRDF leadership election process.
Some critics are very skeptical that the Prime Minister would have a real power. You seem to think that it's up to the Prime Minister to decide on the position of his authority. Can you explain how?
The point that I tried to make, the latest piece that I published, was basically that by virtue of the fact that he occupies the highest executive authority in the country, it would be extremely difficult for him to be anything but somebody who has no power. So the mere fact that he occupies the highest executive authority means a lot in terms of having a real power. I do understand that there are people who, for understandable reasons, envision a dichotomized power dynamics in Ethiopia involving onstage and backstage power holders. And my point was that Hailemariam Desalegn, as person holding the highest executive authority, can't really be reduced to somebody with no real power. And also, if you see, I tried to bring out the experience of former president of Kenya, Daniel Arap Moi. The parallel between Hailemariam Desalegn and Daniel Arap Moi of Kenya is a very interesting one. Daniel Arap Moi, at the time he served as vice president during the rule of former President Jomo Kenyatta of Kenya, he came from a small ethnic community in Kenya, just like Hailemariam has come from a small community in Ethiopia. And when President Jomo Kenyatta passed away, then it was him who was in a position to assume the position of the president. And when he assumed the position of the president, he had a lot of resistance and a lot of issues with people from the group that was dominating the power in Kenya. Despite the fact that he didn't have, at that initial moment, the full support of the real power holders, so to speak, quote unquote, he managed, and he did so very successfully, to make himself the most influential president, actually, a president who made the presidency in Kenya not only imperial, but also absolute in many ways. So that parallel shows you that there is a real possibility, by virtue of holding the highest executive body, for Hailemariam Desalegn to make use of his prime ministership and become a successful prime minister, and being able also to exert and assert his authority in full. Partly it's because people draw a parallel between him and the late Prime Minister of Malatena, that they speak of the fact that he wouldn't have as much real power as the late Prime Minister. But we need to understand how long time it took for the late Prime Minister to become as influential as he was at the time of his death. It took quite a lot of time for him to get where he was in terms of asserting his full authority in the establishments of government and in the country as a whole.
What about the claim that he is politically new and he might be overshadowed by his subordinates who have a longer experience?
I think we have to remember how long Haile Mariam Desalegn have been around, particularly in the seat of power here in Addis. He has been around from the elections following the 2005 elections, basically as an advisor to the prime minister, the chief whip of the ruling coalition, and then, of course, after the 2010 election, as deputy prime minister and foreign minister. So he has been around quite for a while, really. It may be that his experience compared to others may not be as long as those others that have been around for the past two decades, for example. And that could be a disadvantage in some ways for him, for sure. It's something that he has also to reckon with. And ultimately, it is a question of the team of people that he is going to surround himself with that is going to matter. So if he has a very good team of people to provide him the necessary historical memory and insight on various aspects of, leading the country, then surely he can compensate the fact that, relatively speaking, he has a shorter period of time with that kind of, group of advisors who have longer historical memory as well as insight.
In one of his interviews, Meles was asked if he will step down in 2015, and he said not just him, but the whole old generation leadership has to go. Do you believe the rising to power of Prime Minister Haile Mariam is a start of a succession plan to do away with the old guards by the end of 2015?
I think to speak of this one at the start would not be accurate, because this process started actually much earlier. In 2010, when some of the so-called old guard were retired, as it were, and replaced by new generation of leaders, quote-unquote, since 2010. So the likes of, for example, former minister of Seyum, he took up a post as ambassador to China, and then he was replaced by Haile Mariam Desalegn, the foreign minister. So that process started actually in 2010. And the fact that Haile Mariam is now appointed and if confirmed as a prime minister is surely an indication of a continuation of that process. Because if he was not confirmed as a prime minister, I think there could have been many issues as to whether or not that process is indeed or was indeed continuing. Because the fact that he was appointed as the deputy prime minister in 2010, then as foreign minister, that was a very strong signal that come 2015, which was said to be the opportunity for Prime Minister Meles Zenawi to step down, then Haile Mariam Desalegn was coming in as the prime minister by then. That was the expectation. 2015 is well long before that prime minister passed away, unfortunately, and therefore, despite the fact that 2015 didn't come, but still they continued with, if you like, the initial plan of having Haile Mariam Desalegn as the prime minister, then it is a strong indication that indeed this is a continuation of the succession plan that the ruling coalition has been pursuing since 2010.
Dr. Selamon, you talked about the positive legacy of the late prime minister that needs to be maintained and those that require attention and reform. Can you elaborate on this?
I think when Haile Mariam Desalegn delivered the speech accepting his confirmation as the prime minister, there were certain things that were encouraging, like the expression of willingness to work with various sections of society, including the opposition. But there were also certain aspects of the speech that were a little bit concerning, because he was emphasizing more continuity rather than change in his speech, that he would pursue the footsteps of the late Prime Minister Meles Zenawi without revising and without changing the direction set by the late Prime Minister Meles Zenawi. This one is a little bit concerning, because should circumstance require, there must be flexibility to adapt the direction that the Prime Minister set earlier, to adapt them to the conditions of emerging and new circumstances. And there are also, of course, a number of areas that require also a very serious rethink from the perspective of the new leadership. These include the need to show a high level of willingness to listen to the concerns of any sections of society. Equally important is also the relationship relationship of certain sections of society, certain parts of the country with the center have been very tense, sometimes confrontational. This is a very serious issue that requires also some rethink, and also various issues relating to, for example, the need to look into and abrogate laws that have been adopted, particularly since 2005, laws that proved to be inimical to the enjoyment of individual freedoms and liberties. I think there is a need to look into, revise and abrogate those laws to the extent that they are inimical to the individual freedoms and liberties guaranteed in the 1995 Federal Republic of Ethiopia Constitution. And this would equally be important in terms of addressing some of the economic challenges that sections of society are facing to deal with the issue of, for example, inflation. It was interesting for me to hear during his speech at Parliament the day that he was confirmed as the Prime Minister that is one of the issues that his leadership is very much committed to work on. And then, of course, for the implementation of some of the major development projects, I think it would still be important, really, to continue to engage particularly sections of society or community that are going to be affected by those development projects, and to also mobilize the support of not only people who are members of and who support the ruling coalition, but also all other sections of society outside of the power base of the ruling coalition, as it were. That is very key for the successful implementation of these development projects as well. And some of these issues are issues that can't be indefinitely postponed. If that is done, I think there would be a very good combination of fundamental continuity with very important change in the leadership of Hailemariam Desalegn's government.
Relating to the development of multi-party politics, joint form of political parties, including the ERDF, have declared their intention to closely work together, while MEDREC has not yet committed itself to the joint forum. Do you think this will pose a challenge to progress in multi-party democracy in the country?
As far as multi-party politics is concerned, I don't think that working together among the different political parties is central. Right? As far as multi-party politics is concerned, I think what is central is that there are necessary conditions. So the legal environment, the political environment, and the social environment of the country is such that it allows different political ideologies and different political movements to triumph in the society. That is the most important and key element. So freedom of association, freedom of expression are strongly entrenched in not only the constitution of the country, but also in the political practice of the country. These are the fundamentals for a multi-party democratic enterprise. If they work together, it's always good for the good of the society and the country. But the fact that they don't work together is not necessarily a sign that multi-party democracy doesn't work.
Dr. Solomon, relating to the rather strict spiritual family life of the Prime Minister Hailemariam Desalegn, some express their concern that he might be too soft in resolving pending issues such as Ethio-Eritrean question and EPRDF relation with opposition parties. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm not sure how much influence his religious convictions are going to have on his exercise of his power. I'm not really sure, partly because if you see the speeches that he made, one speech day after the burial of the late Prime Minister Meles Zenawi, and the second speech on the day that he was confirmed as the Prime Minister, it is pretty clear that the central background for his action as the Prime Minister are his convictions surrounding the ideological orientation of his coalition, Ethiopian People Democratic Revolutionary Party. That is, I think, the core of what seems to be driving his position as Prime Minister. It can have some bearing, but I don't think that is going to be a very serious one. What we have really to ask ourselves about is, I think, issues surrounding whether or not some of the ideological convictions or foundations of the ruling coalition would be flexible enough to allow a very robust, dynamic, pluralistic democratic order or democratic system. So I'm referring to, for example, the whole question of EPRDF's central pillar in terms of its ideology, that of democratic central. And there could be questions the extent to which this could be flexible enough to allow a very robust, dynamic and pluralistic democratic order, one in which, you know, people are willing and able to disagree and to do so very strongly, but in a peaceful way. One in which people are willing to criticize and to accept criticism, one in which people would be willing to make suggestions, to express themselves, and to influence the process of public decision making as well as the process of building a democratic culture in the society. And of course, with that comes also the whole issue of the extent to which it would be possible then to pursue a very aggressive economic development path in a very contested political environment. It could also be another major issue.
Dr. Selemon, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.